Every Woman is a feminist show about women and girls making a difference and the men who support us. As 50% of humanity and 53% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in the social, political, economic, and environmental arenas. The views and opinions expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, KKFI staff, volunteers, board, or management.
Hello and welcome to Every Woman. I'm Fiona Nowling and I'm here with my co-hostess and soundboard engineer, Una Nowling, my wife. And I'm afraid that our other two hosts we usually have are enjoying a lovely holiday on this horribly stormy, rainy Kansas City afternoon.
I know, and one of them is out at the lake with her child, and I'll bet that's rather wild and woolly out there.
I hope the weather's better down at the lake.
It's simply pounding it down here at 39th and Main. It's making me a little nervous. The last storm, we lost power for 3.5 days in total, and it was really quite dreadful.
So let's just keep our fingers crossed that it doesn't strike the radio tower. It's going to be very quiet. But before we go quiet from anything like that, I'd like to welcome our guest today, Misha V. Devine. She's a familiar figure to people that have listened to the show before because she came on to talk about her wonderful book that she wrote about a novelization of the biography of her mother, The Voices of Heaven. And we had an excellent discussion about life in Korea, especially during the Korean War time. And she's here today to talk about Chinese zodiac signs, the fact that they still influence birth rates, marriages, and fortune telling. And many of you will be familiar with Chinese zodiac signs, at the very least from seeing them on placemats at so many of the Chinese restaurants around the area. But they have a lot more impact, particularly in countries like China and Korea and other Asian countries. And Misha's a particular expert on that area, and she's come to share her knowledge today and how it can lead to discrimination or to change whether people are allowed to marry or anything like that. So welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Una and Fiona. I'm glad to be here for the second time. And I must tell you right off the bat, I'm not an expert, but I did grow up in this culture, listening to these Chinese zodiac signs and what it was doing to people in Korea on a day-to-day basis.
And you gave a course on that recently at KU, didn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess maybe for some of our listeners that are not familiar, could you just describe a little bit from the basics of what it means to fall, what the zodiac signs are based upon, what it mean, what influence they can have in our lives?
Right. Zodiac signs originated from Taoistic theory, Taoism. Taoism was founded by a Chinese philosopher called Lao Tzu. And the Taoism began to be popular during the 1st and 2nd century BC during Han Dynasty. And Taoist theory developed the idea of yin and yang philosophy. Yin and yang philosophy divides the universe and all the energies that make the universe and daily lives go around into two elements, yin and yang. Yang is more masculine element. Yin is a feminine element. Of course, the basis of yin and yang philosophy is you must have proper balance of yin energy, the feminine energy, and masculine energy, yang energy, in order to create a happy life for everybody and the earth that goes around smoothly. And then into this yin and yang came five elements. So a philosophy called Five Elements and Yin and Yang School of Philosophy came into being after, in the tradition of Taoism. And in this Five Elements and Yin and Yang philosophy, all phenomena happening in the universe are explained in terms of the five elements and yin and yang and their relationships and the dynamics as they interact with one another. And so this became the basis of philosophy of life, philosophy of running the government, philosophy of everything in China. And it spread out.
So what were the five elements?
Okay, the five elements are wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. And these are symbolic in that they possess characteristics that have been assigned to these five elements. For example, wood represents energy that's rising and that causes action and things to develop and things to expand. So that's masculine. So wood is yang. And fire is also yang, and in the fire element, there's action and dynamic phase. The earth is also yang, that's the center. And metal and water are yin forces, and metal is represented by actions and phenomena that represent sinking, going downward, declining. And that's yin. That's associated with yin. So feminine force is associated with declining and sinking. And darkness, the opposite of the sun shining and rising and actions developing. And the water, also yin force, that's feminine. And so the characteristics of water are contemplation, which means it's more passive rather than active. Calmness, which suggests being shy, not being outspoken. And observation, observing rather than acting. So overall, the yin forces are associated with being passive and introvert. So all these translate into personality analysis and fortune telling.
I was wondering why air is not considered to be one of the elements, because many cultures also include air as one of the basic elements.
Right, right. I have no answer for that. They decided to decided on these five elements, and that's it.
Okay.
Air may be coming in as part of kind of sub-characteristic of one of these five elements.
I could see it being a sub for fire or for wood, because trees produce air and need air to grow,
right.
And fire, obviously, air to burn.
Right.
I know European cultures tended to have either four or five elements, and it was earth, air, fire, water, and the fifth one was ether, kind of heavenly air that surrounded and wrapped everything.
Yeah, right.
That makes sense, yes. Mm-hmm. Or air could also be associated with water when it boils, or water vapor,
right,
too.
Right, right.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to try and breathe that.
Well, as humid as it is around here, you never know.
So, you said that the yin is dark and descending and passive, and the yang is the masculine and rising forces.
Yes.
So how do the yin and the yang and then the five elements relate to the Chinese zodiac for the years?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will briefly mention before I go into that these five elements are all associated with different aspects of phenomena in the universe, like wood is represented by the animal phoenix, and it also means summertime. It also means the color red, and it also means the direction south. And in terms of daily, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Wood is Tuesday. And so they have it all set up down to the smallest details for each element.
I was born on a Tuesday, so I would get a Wood day in that sense of things.
Yeah, right, yeah. The personality traits associated with these five elements lead to generalizations about men and women. And Chinese zodiac signs developed from this philosophy, and every month has a animal name. And so there are 12 animals. And so every 13th year, the same 12 animal cycle repeats itself. And eventually, I will be going into how the zodiac signs get into gender bias and how that affected the population issue, because certain people had the preconception about horsier child being born having horsey characteristic, and therefore some parents decided not to have a child in horse year. That kind of thing will come in a little bit later.
And we'll have to revisit that, because Sharon specifically told me to ask you about a Leo born in the horse year.
Yes.
So she can find out later.
Yes. But this philosophy actually affects all other areas like feng shui, astrology, traditional Chinese medicine, music, and military strategy, and martial arts, and of course herbal medicine. And so this philosophy just affects major areas of human lives.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you if it had an influence on music, and even does it have an influence as well on artistic works, you know,
yes,
paintings and sculptures?
Right, right. Those areas are a little bit out of my research area, so I couldn't comment on those specifically. But yes, this philosophy also provides guidelines in those areas, art and music as well, and military tactics too, yeah.
When you say military tactics, do you mean that they thought that certain attacks would only work in certain years, or that certain generals would be,
yes,
better with certain attack types because of their birth year?
Attack types and also geomancy, which means the shape of the terrain where they are fighting. And so the geomancy is all related to this east, west, center, north, and seasonal considerations too. Certain seasons are ascending seasons, you know, like springtime. And so perhaps attacking in springtime is more auspicious. You know,
and that's a common strategy anyway, because the passes through the mountains and things, so they've just had this melt and they're actually passable again, and you
right.
can get there without losing all your men.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Those of you who do not yet know what your zodiac signs are, I'll be happy to post two charts that show, from the chart you can tell what zodiac sign you are. I'll be posting it either on my Facebook, my name, Meja Reed Divine, Facebook, or in my website, which is also MejaReedDivine.com.
And let me spell that out as well. So it would be www.MajaReedDivine.com.
I will also be mentioning Love Chart, Love Match. This is very, very popular. Which zodiac signs match the best romantically with which signs? And that sign will also be posted.
And that will feed into some of what you were saying about the discrimination and how it affects,
yes,
people's lives.
Absolutely.
And if you don't believe in the philosophy, it still affects people's lives because other people believe it and might be biased against you.
Right.
Right. And so we'll be getting more into that, but we have to take a brief break now for a station announcement.
Quick, can you name 5 of the 10 commandments? Don't worry. According to polls, most Americans can't either.
I know thou shalt not disobey their parents. That is one. Thou shalt not cuss. I believe is one. Those are the only 2 that I can remember.
Be kind and honest. Don't murder your neighbor or something. And then something about not being jealous.
I'm Maureen Fiedler. The 10 Commandments. That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon.
Is net neutrality at risk? What is net neutrality? Should you be concerned? Friends of Community Media is hosting an informational meeting open to the public at the KKFI Annex at 3901 Main Street on Saturday from 4 to 5:30 p.m. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Welcome back to Every Woman, and I'm here with my co-hostess Una Nalling and our guest Misha V. Devine, and we're talking about the influence of the Chinese zodiac on people's lives and discrimination and just about everything in certain areas of the world. So Misha, we were just before the break talking about how the romantic effects of the zodiac years were. So would you like to continue on that line?
Okay. Zodiac signs have all been assigned certain personality characteristics. For example, horse. Some of the horse years are 1978, people born in that year, 1990, 2002, 2014, and then 2027 would be horse year again. And so people born in horse years are supposed to have personality characteristics of animation, kind, straightforward, active, and energetic. These are all very positive characteristics. However, animated suggests hyperactivity. And parents expecting babies, they really don't want their daughters to be hyperactive. They want them to be passive and calm. And kindness is good for both sexes. Straightforward. Well, parents are not sure about this for a daughter. Straightforward, outspoken, direct. That's more masculine characteristic. Active. Well, this also, they would rather have the girls to be shy and sitting quietly and behaving. And energetic, well, some level of energy is good, but not too much for girls.
Yes, when we're saying it's more masculine characteristic, we're saying it's more a characteristic that would be socially acceptable in a male.
Yes. And personality's characteristics more desired in female are more like goat. Goat's characteristics are gentle, shy, stable, sympathetic, and amicable.
Have these people ever met a goat? I'm sorry, the goats I know do not tend to be shy.
Right. So what this means is that parents expecting babies in China and Korea and certain parts of India and other Asian countries that believe in zodiac signs, they abort female fetuses if they are expecting the delivery to occur during horse year. So this is not a joke. This is not a funny story. This is true. In South Korea, in 1990 alone, which is a horse year, 30,000 female fetuses were aborted.
Do you know what normal level of abortion of female fetuses is in
other years?
Yeah.
I have a chart But it shows a sharp rise in the horse year compared to other years. So in 1994 and 1990 horse year, it just shot up to 30,000. And then the other years, it went down to 10,000, 20,000, et cetera. This is from 1990 to 1995 period.
Yes.
During this time, the Korean society overall decided that two children per family would be perfect number for economic reasons and other reasons. And so if they were going to have two children only, they wanted to make sure one would be a boy. And I can tell you later why boys were preferred. But so therefore, if they already had a daughter, then the second child had to be a boy. And so it's the horse year, and they expect a baby, and they get the ultrasound done, and it's a daughter again. They were aborted.
I know that there were things like that in China as well during the one-child era, mm-hmm. to the point that the sex balance was making it very hard for people to actually get married.
And right. Now second child is allowed. But the two-child policy is having same effect, same detrimental effect on female children as the one-child policy. Because if the family had one girl already, the second child has to be a boy in China under two-child. So same phenomenon.
I'm guessing that if the first child is a boy, though, they would be less likely to abort the second child if it was also a boy? Or would they be just as likely to try to have a girl as a second child?
No. Overall, the son preference culture dominates in these Asian countries. And I'll tell you why the son preference, maybe after the break, if we don't have enough time. But they cannot have too many boys. They want more boys. Even if they already have a boy.
Well, you can go ahead and expand on that.
Oh, expand
right
on
now.
It.
Yes,
okay.
Of course.
Why do they prefer men and boys? Because, first, for this life, the male child would take care of parents and grandparents, and financially, because in those days they didn't have social security system or welfare system set up, and so the boys were the ones who were providers, okay, in this life. But what was even more important than taking care of grandparents and parents in this life, it's the afterlife. After the parents died and grandparents died, only the male children were eligible to offer ancestor worship ceremonies. And without three times a year for every dead ancestor for three generations. And without, if they didn't have male descendants to do this ancestor worship ceremony, then they did not go to heaven. They became wandering ghosts. And wandering ghosts are restless, and they do harm to the living. So
I think I actually learned that recently, and maybe from one of the extra special features on, I think, Kubo and the Two Strings, they actually had some Japanese culture mm-hmm. discussions in mm-hmm. their specials on there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me that from a societal standpoint, though, that they would have to recognize that they need about as many girls as they have boys. Otherwise, how does the family keep going?
Yes, exactly. And so in Korea and in China too, they are aware that a boy-girl sex balance has to be established to have a healthy population growth. And in Korea, partly because of the influence of Christianity also is patriarchal, holds patriarchal values, but at least in Christianity, they did not discriminate against girl babies and aborted them. Okay, so because of Christian influence of treating boys and girls more or less equally, and at least not believing in abortions, in South Korea, which has 35% Christians now, the abortion rate of female fetuses went way down. So now it has been cut down by at least like 85%. And so instead of 30,000 female fetuses being aborted, it's now down to maybe a couple thousand.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's still a huge number.
That's still
for that
huge
reason.
Number.
Yeah. And I don't think Christianity is even completely innocent, because back in the day there was at least a very strong preference for boys.
Yes.
It kind of has evolved through the 20th century.
Right.
But at the time when it was really, really bad to have a female, because you had to provide them with a dowry and risk splitting your lands and losing money and things like that, or even worse, for the appearances to society, they might get stuck at home as an old maid and you'd be stuck with them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
They didn't have the ability to find out before the child was born whether they were male or female for most of the time that was. And by the time that people were able to get ultrasounds and know in advance, other than perhaps spinning a weight over someone's stomach, which is totally reliable, they weren't able to do that. So by the time that you could find out, that driver in Western culture had already disappeared.
Yeah.
And Western culture is that sort of a self-perpetuating patriarchy, in that it's been the thing. A girl is less valuable because she'll be less likely to find work, and at the same time, you prevent women from having equal opportunity in jobs, so it becomes a circular, discriminatory cycle, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's actually getting worse, apparently, at least in the U.S. I keep referring to this study, but there was a study a few months ago that came out, and it said that the current generation of girls are actually worse off than their mothers and grandmothers, and less likely to find jobs in science and technology, and less likely to have a decent starting salary and things like that. And we're actually moving backwards.
Well, at least since January.
I think the study was of a slightly longer view, but I suspect that the moving backwards has accelerated.
I am surprised.
Yes, I was surprised to read that study.
I thought we were making headway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and then there was this election, and things got sort of black and scaly, as they say. And
you say quite a lot.
Yes, I do. Well, P.G. Wodehouse came up with the term, and I really like repeating it because it gives the impression of dragons or snakes and all sorts of terrible things.
Or maybe a rose covered in black aphids or something. The backpack's just drawing all the life out of it.
Okay, now that's really creepy. I don't even know where you got that from.
Straight out of my own head, surprisingly enough, or scarily enough.
So I was curious, you know, you have talked about China, you've talked about Korean culture. What other cultures also believe and follow strongly in the Chinese zodiac, especially when it comes to the aspect of gender bias, too?
India is strongly patriarchal and strong sun preference. I understand that they have they believe in zodiac signs of some sort, maybe not exactly Chinese zodiac signs, but something similar to that, and whether that is associated with the sun preference culture or not, I'm not sure. But the sun preference culture there is so strong that actually India is still aborting female fetuses by the million every year. That doesn't seem to be going down. So India is big sun preference culture. China, of course, you know, that it's just seems to be not getting any better. It's still 115, 117 boys to 100 girls being born.
I know there are other nations, too, with a large Chinese population, such as Malaysia.
Also Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And does this also extend into Mongolia, as far as you know?
I would think so, yes. I would think so. There, the Buddhism is strong, but there is a syncretism between religions and philosophies in Asian countries. So Buddhists believe, they borrow from Confucian beliefs, and Confucianism borrows from Taoism, and so they share these values. So Mongolia being part of China, I would not be surprised if they also have some syncretism going on and also believe in these zodiac signs.
Buddhism seems to be a little bit confused sometimes about what the role of women within it. You know, that some scriptures or sutras will seem to raise women to the same level as men, but the practice does not follow suit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly where the fault lies, in practice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought that up, because Buddhism is known to be pretty gender equal. But I am collecting stories about Buddhist monks who tell fortunes for people. And I have at least two stories that show the gender bias. I wrote poems about these two stories. One is about during the Korean War, a woman was pregnant, and her son, high school age son, was about to go to war. And he did go to war, but she became so distraught that, you know, she asked a Buddhist monk, would he return alive? And the Buddhist monk said, if the baby in your stomach, when that baby is born, if it's a boy, he will return. If it's a girl, he will not return. And if that's not gender bias, I don't know what is.
You'd think it might be the other way around, that she might have been given a son to replace the missing son.
Right. But so in real life, this real life story, the mother gave birth to a girl, and the boy who went to war did not come back.
And she blamed the girl for it forever, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, forever and ever and ever, this girl was blamed. And when she was born, the mother refused to look at her or nurse her. Luckily, there were siblings, and those girls took the baby to neighborhood and to other nursing mothers and asked to nurse their little baby sister, and raised the baby. The sisters raised the baby.
That's absolutely horrible.
Yeah. So Buddhism and gender issue, there are stories like this.
I know when we were in Thailand, we were told when we went to any of the temples that were to make sure that if we saw any monks, first not to actively approach them, to speak to them, and certainly under no circumstances should a woman touch a monk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Then there was one temple in Chiang Mai that women were absolutely not allowed to even enter,
mm-hmm.
which being a transgender woman was kind of a, it really hit me in the face then again as another aspect of discrimination that I had never experienced before, because as the old me, which ironically was the younger me, I could go anywhere that I pleased, but all of a sudden there was a barrier telling me, no, you are a woman, you cannot enter, it's forbidden.
Right.
And
yeah.
It really, mm-hmm. I've learned quite a lot about discrimination by having walked both paths,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still learning every day, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the temple that was dedicated to a particular pillar that was supposed to symbolize the strength of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why the presence of a woman would make a pillar wilt, but apparently it wasn't supposed to be done.
Yeah.
Wow, there's a certain almost sexual parallel there that's reversed. The presence of a woman makes the pillar wilt.
Yes. Which was probably something I maybe shouldn't have said on it. But we're discussing cultural attitudes to things.
I don't think we used any of the forbidden words. I don't think pillar or wilt are on the list. Although maybe they should be.
Possibly the way I use them.
So yes, it is really... Is it getting better? I mean, are there signs of progress that it is getting better slowly but surely, at least for women?
Yes. At least in Korea, things are getting much, much better. In 1989, under President Roh-tae-woo, family law was revised, and that revised family law gave women a lot of rights, like inheritance law. She used to be behind mother-in-law in inheriting her husband's estate, but she moved ahead of the mother-in-law. Women get very generous maternity leaves, and women also now are entitled to custody.
If of positive children. Also or
yeah.
something.
So things have improved. But still, like the Economist annual report on which country is the best place for working women to work in, 20 top countries. And top countries are always Nordic countries like Sweden, and the bottom, South Korea and Japan.
Yes. And the U.S. is lucky to scrape into the top because of the fact that they don't guarantee maternity leave. And some companies do, but it's entirely voluntary. And some companies are also now introducing paternity leave.
Yeah,
so the father can actually help the mother while she's barely able to stand after any ill effects from the childbirth and bond with their own child.
Yeah.
I know various males over here who refer to looking after their own child if their wife is going out, they refer to it as babysitting. And whenever I hear that, I tell them, if it's your own child, it's your parental duties and what you should be doing with your child.
Yeah.
Babysitting is looking after somebody else's child.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
So they usually stop saying it around me, but I'm not sure I'm actually changing their minds.
It seems like there's almost an intersectionality of racism in a way combined with this, because I will say I've worked quite a bit in Asian countries as a woman, and when I go to some of the offices of other companies and so forth, I will notice that I, even though I am female, because I am Western, I am treated much better than female engineers that are nationals of that country. They will tell senior female engineers to go and get me coffee. They will treat them like they are, you know, secretaries. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they're not secretaries. And whereas you would think that you would almost treat the your own, I know this sounds terrible, but you'd think you would almost treat your own coworkers and your own people better than a stranger that had come in.
I think some of that's guest culture. You're being the host and you have to be polite. But some of it might also be because you came from the home office and therefore you're imbued with the power of the head office and seen as being a representative of that.
Right.
Because when there was a chance I might be sent to India to work at a branch office, and I looked up culture and things because I was concerned about being a single female, well, married but single when I was there, over there, and whether they would even listen to me because I'd heard stories. And they said that women, it very greatly depends on where they are coming from. They get any power or authority that they have from who they're a representative of. So I would have been seen as a symbol of the home office and thus an expert that way. But the guys that went over, the single guys that were there, took them out to do touristy things at the weekend, and it was like, yeah, that's not going to happen for me. I'm going to be just stuck there on my own at the weekend with nothing to do unless I can hire a guide to take me out to do tours or something.
I asked you a little bit about whether the impact of gender bias was evolving over time. Has the interpretations and has the zodiac, has it changed over time as well?
No, not significantly. This is from first or second century BC, all these thousands of years. The tradition seems to be pretty much the same, the basic philosophy.
When I was researching this topic prior to the show, I read that the 12-year cycle was roughly based off of the cycle of Jupiter, the progression of Jupiter through the sky. And it made me wonder, as well as with other systems such as this, if the expansion of our knowledge of the universe and our solar system, even with new planets, had had any impact or not. I just didn't know.
Well, late last summer or early fall last year, there was a big fuss over the Western zodiac, the like Leo and so forth, because NASA did a post that mentioned a 13th zodiac sign, Ophiuchus, and it wasn't that they were trying to say everyone should be following a different zodiac, because they're astronomers. They name stars. They don't tell stories about them. But they said that the positions of the constellations have shifted relative to the Earth in the thousands of years since the Babylonians first came up with it and mapped it out. And so if they were doing it today, the dates would be different, and the sun would also move into a 13th zodiac sign, which would align better with the months and the phases of the moons, and for that aspect, called Ophiuchus. And so everyone was going quite crazy about it on Twitter and so forth.
But it
was definitely a storm in the teacup.
I do have here a chart that shows the equivalent Western style zodiac signs next to the Chinese zodiac signs, and birth dates are here. And Leo, for example, on this chart, Leo is shown as goat, but Sharon mentioned Leo born in the year of the horse.
Yes.
It's possible that because this zodiac, calendar dates go by lunar calendar, every year the dates are different.
Yes,
and so shift. In certain year, Leo might have been born in horse year, but on this chart, it's showing as goat. But I do want to go into this fortune telling a little bit based on these zodiac signs.
Yes, please.
Definitely.
People may be very interested in, what's my fortune like because I'm a rat or monkey. But what they don't realize is to tell a person's tailored fortune, you have to provide four pillars. Four pillars mean the year you're born, the month you were born, and the day you were born, and also the hour of your birth. You have to provide all four of these for the fortune teller to be able to really personalize your fortune.
Yes, and it's the same with Western astrology as well. They need to know that.
They need to know the hour, too?
Yes, because they have to draw a star chart of how the stars were at the time that you of your birth, and then read the influences from those.
I was born at 7:15 a.m.
I was born about 6 a.m.
You were always early.
No, it was the first and only time in my life I was going to be up early. I'm not a morning person.
No, I'm not either.
I was 3 days late, so that's how much I was trying to avoid getting up in the morning, apparently.
So I don't know how much time is left, but if I may add just one more story. This is a story of a man whose face was shaped like a mouse. And, you know, like a rat. And that's not a very good sign. And so it's a man with a mouse-shaped face. Fortune tellers were telling him, you're just not going to make it. And so he was feeling very, very bad. And one day he took a boat ride and went to the bamboo woods, and he just plunked down, and he was despairing about his future. And then a Buddhist monk came. You know, these Buddhist monks are always coming.
Yes.
And so he asked the Buddhist monk, hey, you know, a guy like this with a face like this mouse-shaped, what can I become? And the Buddhist monk took a long time, and then he finally said, boat ferryman. Well, this man was a nobleman's son, and boat ferryman's job is way at the bottom of the society.
Yes.
And so he was just, oh my gosh, I knew my face was bad, but I didn't know it was going to land me something like that. But he didn't say that. He just walked away, and he said, he mumbled to himself, well, if all I can amount to is being a boatman, maybe I could at least save some lives, people from drowning. And when the Buddhist monk heard something like this, he said, hey, come back. What did you say? He told him, he said, you know, the shape of your face conquers, overcomes the shape of your body, the skeleton, your bones. And the skeleton, the shape of your skeleton conquers what's in your heart. What is in your heart is wonderful, saving people's lives. You will become the greatest man on this in this country, and you will serve kings and you will save lives. And so later he became the top minister for the king, several kings, and saved many thousands of lives. So I just wanted to kind of conclude this talk about zodiac signs and external shapes and things and how that tells fortunes of people. All that can be overcome by what is in your heart.
That's incredibly powerful, and it really... we're going to come back and talk a little bit more with you about this after the break. We're going to take a short break here and then be back to learn a little more and open up the lines for callers to call in and ask some questions.
Jaws of Justice Radio investigates how we can achieve justice from a system of laws deeply rooted in economic, political, and social inequality. We strive to dispel misconceptions created by the news and entertainment industries, as well as the fear-mongering of the political system. Listen in as we search out the tools needed to make our community a more just environment. Jaws of Justice Radio, Mondays at 9 a.m., right after Democracy Now!
Peaceworks KC is hosting its annual Hiroshima-Nagasaki Remembrance on Sunday at Luce Park, using the theme Lament and Sorrow, Hope for Tomorrow. The program starts at 7:30, preceded by a 6:30 potluck. For further info, contact Henry at 913-206-4088. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Hello and welcome back. We are here talking about the Chinese zodiac and its influence upon all parts of our lives and its influence on gender discrimination and gender bias. We'd like to go ahead and in the 8 minutes we have left or so, open up the lines for callers. You can call us here at 816-931-5534.
I thought I'd like to ask briefly, if you apply to a job position and you sent your resume in, very often you put your birth date on that. If you're applying to someone in China or Korea, would they actually look at your birth date from that and go, oh, well, they're a year of the dog and they're a woman and they might be this, that and the other and refuse to hire you just based on that as well?
I would not be surprised. But... more and more international and other businesses, big businesses, are now getting away from traditions like that. And so there might have been more of those going on, but I would think that they are getting away from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it might be more small companies and
yes.
mom-and-pop type
right,
stores.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I thought maybe we had a call. But,
no, I thought we did too.
Okay.
But no.
So, what? Okay, I'm year of the dog, and I looked at your chart when you were first here, and I'm also metal and yang, I think it said. So what would they say was that sort of personality?
Dog is very good. Although on the love chart, the love chart shows dog not having much luck.
Oh. You'd think they'd be fine. I mean, If you think of regular dogs, you think of them as being very loyal. You know, that would be a trait that people would want.
Dog is best matched to rabbit. But
that's why they're always chasing them.
And
but Una's a monkey.
Yes, well.
The year of the monkey. Not literally a monkey.
Yes, let's say that instead.
So metal and
Yang, I think. 1970, uh-huh. October.
Now, metal is yin.
But I thought in your year chart you had the yins and yangs as well against the...
Yeah, so it really
years.
Will need to be a professional person to be analyzing this kind of thing.
Because I'm all crossed over.
Uh-huh. I thought that was me.
Oh, you bad wife.
I know that when you looked in your chart for compatibility, you said that Fiona and I were the second best for compatibility. I would think that we're quite a bit more than that. But I guess everyone thinks that.
Right. What is, remember, what is in your heart overcomes all these external charts and graphs and signs.
That just as the story of the man with the face of a mouse.
Yes.
And that has certainly been very true for you, Una.
Yes, it certainly has. And I laughed, too, when you talked about the man who looked like a mouse, because Fiona's nickname is Mouse.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, I love this story of this heart. What's in your heart? That determines your future and your fortune, not your shape of your face or...
No. Yes.
Yeah. Or your sign.
Yes.
It must be nice to always have a Buddhist monk wandering around just when you need them.
I think it's probably like Western fairy tales and stuff where there's always some old crone who actually turns out to be someone's fairy godmother in disguise, or a witch who will curse someone, or they
Baba
do them
Yaga.
A favor and they give them a cone. Or yes, you hope it's not Baba Yaga. She tends to eat people.
If you see a hut with chicken legs walking through the swamp, just turn around and run. Don't ask questions. Don't look back. Just run.
Either that or you work out how much KFC breading you'd need for the chicken legs.
I always trust you to find the upside of an evil witch.
The hut wouldn't travel very well, but I seem to recall she could travel in a pestle and mortar and fly with that. So I don't think that would slow her down very much.
Now, one question I was asked by someone texted me a question here. Does the Chinese zodiac apply as well to Westerners, people who are not born native to the lands that where the zodiac was developed? Does it apply to everyone, or is there a different or special connection depending upon where you were born?
Well, I will not be the ultimate voice on that, but I think as long as you can provide all the four elements, including the hour of your birth, I think fortune tellers will be able to tell your fortune.
I could imagine that they might say, if you weren't born in China, the hour of your birth, and you were, say, born in England, and then they'd have to convert that
translate
to the Chinese time to see then what the stars would be like at that point.
Yes, that will have to be converted.
Yes.
That's an excellent detail.
Yeah.
And we know that this is influential, you know, following the horoscopes is influential at many different levels. I mean, it was somewhat of a scandal here in the United States when it was determined that in the 1980s, the wife of President Ronald Reagan, that is Nancy Reagan, was following Western horoscopes to determine how to guide policy in the White House, or even determining how different visitors to the White House were going to be treated.
Right. Yes, in Korea and China, in Taiwan and Vietnam, where all these zodiac signs have influence too, they have lucky days. Certain days are more auspicious for doing certain things, moving day, changing jobs, and all these are influenced by this. And also marriage prospects is a very important area where Chinese zodiac signs play a role. Like a woman born in the year of the horse will have very, very tough time finding marriageable bachelor.
I don't think Sharon's in the market at the moment, so that's probably okay. But she definitely has her own opinions, and I think we're very grateful for that here on Every Woman. I know one of the stories about the Western Zodiac is it's frequently used as a terrible pickup line by guys in bars of what's your sign. Ah. And the best response I saw to that was no entry.
Oh, wow. That's I have actually only had one time somebody try to pick me up by saying, asking what's your sign. And I looked at them and I said, you know, that's just quirky enough. I'll listen to more. You know, keep going.
See, it's people like you that are far too polite and accommodating that put the rest of us to
well,
have
normally,
to listen to bad pickup lines.
Normally when I'm just hanging out at Missy's or someplace and, you know, minding my own business, the pickup line is, you know, what's under your skirt?
Oh.
So what's your sign is quite a bit more polite.
Uh-huh. Yes, that is definitely an improvement.
Yes.
I think that was about three times last weekend somebody asked that. And usually the answer is something filled with profanity that I cannot, unfortunately, say on the air right now.
Yes.
But it's on my Facebook.
Oh, awesome.
Well.
That's such a good note to end on.
I would actually be pleased if someone came up with an actual chart and said, okay, I am a rat born under this sign. If you give me your details, I can find out if I should try to buy you a drink.
There's probably an app for that. And well, if there isn't, there soon will be after I've said that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There is just
That's
about
cute.
An app for everything. Uh-huh. I think that we're running to the end of our time here. I'd like to go ahead and I'd really like to thank you very much for coming. Would you like to give the address of your blog, your website again, so that mm-hmm. our listeners who didn't catch it earlier can
Sure. www.majaredivine.com. I'll spell it. Major is M as in Mary, A-I-J-A. Re is R-H-E-E. Divine is D-E-V-I-N-E.com.
That's really wonderful. Thank you so much for coming here today. It's been a very fascinating discussion.
Thank you for inviting me. See you again.
Thank you.
Yes, we'd love to. Thank you.
We'd like all of our KKFI listeners out there to stay tuned for Urban Connections with Donna Wolf coming up next. And then after that, guess who's coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson and company. You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio.